Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Corey Claggett will discuss his challenges with our Army. Then we'll review last weekend's Surface Academy football games. And Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show a friend, a combat veteran, and a guy who's been totally abused by our military, Corey Claggett. He has quite a story to share with us, and it's not over yet. Welcome back, brother.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be back. Thanks, Colonel.
Corey, you served in the Middle East in combat. And I think you were the lowest ranking guy in your rifle squad. Tell us about that time when you got an order, obeyed it, and got in trouble.
Yeah, so I basically did an air assault mission on confirmed bomb makers. And when we raided the house, they like hid behind these women in shields. So we detained them, called up higher up on the radio, and they said, hey, you have to hurry up and kill them. You have a follow-on mission. And nobody wanted to do it, so my squad leader picked myself and someone else. And I just thought it was part of my ROE, which was to kill all military-age males. And so we killed them. Everything was fine. And 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, you know, we did it maliciously with hate in our heart, and we killed innocent people.
And he was tried and convicted of murder and sent to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas for prison. I think you served 10 years initially?
Yeah, I did 10. And I was out for 6.5, and I just got out like 3 weeks ago after doing 2.
Yeah. You know, one of the things about when he was discharged, because he was convicted of a felon, he didn't have veteran status, didn't have access to the VA, certainly had post-traumatic stress issues, if not from combat, then from being in the prison for that long. Met a lot of it in solitary. That was tough, wasn't it?
That's to say the least. You have to really do to yourself and like work on yourself and just do not pay attention to the outside world. That's the only way you can really get through it, is just don't pay attention to outside influences or communication, really.
And that's easy for us to say, and it's a whole lot harder to actually do it. Particularly when you were talking about for years. Am I on target?
You're right there, pinpoint.
So he obeyed the orders of his squad leader. He got convicted of murder, spent jail for 10 years, was out for about 6 years. That's where I met him when he was first out. We worked together on a couple of projects. Then, I'm guessing here, Corey, the PTSD sort of got hold of you, and you went downhill a bit. Am I right?
Yeah, that is correct. You know, I was back. I had lost my job. I went bankrupt. I didn't really have anywhere to stay. And, you know, I left the state, the only other place I could stay. And my parole officer said I wasn't allowed, even though I didn't have anywhere to stay where I was at. And so by leaving, they said it was absconding. And so they violated me and I was sent back.
So the deal is, if you're on parole, you can't leave the state without your parole officer's permission. Corey went to the only place he could go, which was outside the state. Yeah, it was wrong, but that got him put back in prison again. And you had some serious health issues while you were in prison that time, didn't you?
I did. I didn't have health problems on the outside. I get to back to Leavenworth, and they were prescribing me medication, but they were over prescribing it, which caused my health to deteriorate. I almost had a heart attack in there. I had a blood transfusion. And when I was taken off the medication, my health improved.
Okay. And through all that, one of the organizations that I work with is called the Uniformed Services League. And they were working hard to try to get something done for Corey, but with not very much effect. We get a lawyer to appeal things, but that doesn't always work. And Corey was just doing well. I suspect in that situation, when your health is down and everything else, you're just trying to stay alive. Am I right?
That's correct. I knew my health was going down, but nobody could give me any definitive answers. And so, yeah, just I also like to say I did have surgery, a colorectal surgery. And when I came back, I didn't have any pain medications for 2 days because they messed up. So the medical staff there are, I would say, incompetent. So yeah, it's not a good situation.
Yeah, I seem to recollect you had a bad situation with a dentist, didn't you?
Yeah, I went there and she was pulling a tooth and it wasn't numb. And she's digging it out and I'm sitting there like tears in my eyes and I'm just like, get the thing, get it. And with no Novocaine, anything, just pulled it out.
Good grief. That does not make sense to me, but I guess a lot of things don't make sense to me. So you have recently, in the last several weeks, been released again, and you're now in the process of getting your life together, getting back into real life. Is that a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement. It sucks I have to do it like for the third time, but I think my surroundings and the people that care about me are easily accessible compared to the last time. So I'm looking forward to get my life back on track. I only have 6 months of parole left, so the end is near.
Yeah. So what's your vision? You know, we don't have any magic switches anywhere, but what would you like to do now? Job-wise, career-wise, friendship-wise, what are the goals you've established so far?
Well, I'm passionate about outdoors, and I used to do lawn care, and I really like it. It's very therapeutic. So I want to start my own lawn care business within 6 months and also get married and just do life.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing Corey and I have in common. We both have found some very nice, I've been married 58 years. But like me, Corey has found a very sharp lady who for some reason would put up with him. And I found one that would put up with me. So that's something else we have in common. And she has stood with him through most of this crud. You know, that's a major step in the right direction. So you're putting it together. You're making it happen. Are you happy with what you see, assuming you're smart enough to know that all the good things won't happen, but are you happy with the vision that you have for your life and the direction you think you're headed?
I am. You know, my mind is set on it, and I'm going to achieve this. So I am happy. I'm happy with what the future will bring. I'm excited.
Good deal. Final question, brother. Do you have a final statement you'd like to tell our listeners about a guy who, in my opinion, as a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, has been badly abused by our Army? Any final statement?
I do want to make a statement real quick. Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, was a platoon leader, and he was deployed with me when I went to Iraq. So he's very familiar with what happened to me, and he's on my side. And I just ask anybody that's listening to this to contact your senator and try to help get Pete confirmed. That way it will help me get a pardon.
I say amen to that. And by the way, Pete's been a guest on this show in years past. He's a darn good man. Thank you, Corey. I'm delighted that we could talk.
Same here, Colonel.
Folks, Corey has been supported through this crazy journey by the Uniformed Services League, and they've helped many other veterans who have been unfairly treated by our military. You can contact them at uniformservicesleague.org. Next, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do at least 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, patriotfoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
Veterans swore an oath to defend this country, and that oath doesn't expire when we take off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and military families the opportunity to continue serving their country by taking on the most important issues our country is facing.
A better foreign policy, quality health care for veterans, responsible spending, and more.
Learn more about how you can play a part by visiting CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, bro. This is fun.
Hoorah, Danny. Hey, happy to be here as always.
Well, this past weekend, well, it was only one game we have to talk about. Army hosted Tulane and won. Pretty
Ooh,
good.
And it was a championship game that we get to talk about as well, Denny. And the theme of this game, overwhelming force. It was Army's overwhelming force that delivered an overwhelming victory over Tulane, 35-14. To win the American Athletic Conference Championship in what Coach Jeff Monken described as their most complete game to date. It was a chilly December night in sold-out Mikey Stadium before a national television audience as the Black Knights played a game to remember en route to becoming AAC champions. The Black Knights were ranked number 25 with a 10-1 record overall and 8-0 in the conference as they faced off against the 9-3 Tulane Green Wave, who was 7-1 in the conference. Tulane had a tremendous season and was favored by 4 points, but they were not ready for the relentless, overwhelming force that was the Army Black Knights. On the opening drive, Tulane drove the ball to the Army 19-yard line, but Army's defense held and forced a field goal attempt. This is where the game began to shift. Tulane muffed the snap on the field goal attempt and walked away scoreless on that drive. From that point on, Army's overwhelming force began to take hold. The Black Knights moved 72 yards in a patented 11-play drive to score their first touchdown of the game, take a 7-0 lead, and it was a lead they would never relinquish. After Army's defense once again forced a Tulane field goal try, Tulane's kicking game once again misfired. And again, Tulane was left scoreless. Then the dam broke. As Kanye Udo raced 72 yards to the 2-yard line, the drive culminated in another Army touchdown from quarterback Bryson Daly. So in another 3 plays, Army was up 14-0. Army added another first half touchdown before Tulane scored a late touchdown using in the last 2 minutes of the first half, using the 2-minute offense to pull within 14 points at the half. It was 21-7 Army. In the second half, Army's offense continued to overwhelm the Green Wave. And the Army defense stayed fresh and played fast and relentless to keep the Tulane offense at bay. Army scored touchdowns on two of their, again, patented long possessions of the second half, one lasting almost 7 minutes and the other covering just over 10 minutes. Their final possession of the day was sweet victory formation. Defensively, Army created a turnover and limited the high-flying Tulane offense to just one second-half touchdown. Game balls. Denny, we got to give one to the offensive line. The game in the trenches. We also have to give one to senior quarterback Bryson Daly, who led the offense and led the team. He had 25 carries for 126 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was also 2-for-2 passing, both for first downs. and the gifted sophomore running back Kanye Udo, who ran the ball 20 times for 158 yards and one touchdown. Our final game ball goes to the coaching staff as Army played the game penalty-free and turnover-free, true hallmarks of a well-coached team. Now, when we look at the tail of the tape, there's only two things I want to highlight, and I've alluded to them already. One, time of possession. Army held the ball for 34 minutes and 20 seconds to Tulane's 25 minutes and 40 seconds. And second, turnovers, as Army had zero turnovers and Tulane had two. Those were the critical stats of the game, along with the score, for a decisive victory for the Black Knights in the to win the AAC champion in their first year of conference play.
Yep, that's a goal for next year now. Win it again.
It certainly is. But that also comes behind their number one goal. Number one goal, of course, is to beat Navy.
Which we're going to do this weekend. Yeah.
You know, 1B is to win the Commander Chiefs trophy. So
yes, that's right.
Yeah. That's right.
So that's right. There is no question doubt. All the years I was in Army, beat Navy was the only thing that was always constant, number one, never any doubt. And that's going to happen this coming weekend.
Oh, well, that's what we get to talk about next. That's for sure.
You know, speaking of that, Army and Navy both lost to Notre Dame. But I'm holding on the fact that, well, Army lost 49-14, Navy lost 51-14. So we were 2 points ahead of them.
Well, Denny, you know, you and the odds makers, because the odds makers are favoring Army by 6.5 points in this game. So, you know, we definitely want to see that. So let's talk about this game a little bit in this preview. Army comes into the game 11-1. Navy is 8-3. It is for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy for only the fifth time since 1978. Interesting enough. Now, as I look inside the numbers, there are really three major stats. One thing I also want to highlight is just a little bit of the history of the series. Overall, Navy leaves the series. I know you don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. 62-55 with seven ties. But Army has won the last two seasons. Last year's score was 17-11. But this is the first time that both teams have really come in a long time, sporting very good records. Army is offensively, they are averaging on the ground 314 yards a game and to Navy's 247. But Navy's passing is 128 to Army's 83.3. Their total yards, though, very close. Army's averaging 397 a game and Navy's 375. Total yards per game defensively, Army has given up just 297 yards a game and Navy has given up 380 yards a game. Now, that's something to look out for. That's saying Army's defense has been more stingy than Navy's. And then turnover margin. Turnovers for Army, they've amassed 14. They're in the plus 14 in turnover margin. Navy plus 6. And then time of possession, Army has averaged 35 minutes and Navy 29. If Army hits that 35 minutes, whoever wins that time of possession in a turnover battle is going to win the game. I will tell you that. I will also say the rushing battle will, and it's kind of very strongly correlated to the time of possession. If Army gets the rushing game going like they do, it's going to be lights out. But Navy's sophomore phenom Braxton Woodson really showed himself in that last game. And I tell you what, Denny, if he gets loose on Army, he can account for some big plays to shrink that margin and give Navy an opportunity to win the game.
Well, there's no doubt they're two good teams having a good year with good coaching. And how can you ever know in that kind of a situation? I mean,
and it's a rivalry game, of course, as we already know. I mean, this is such a tradition-rich game, as you well know. I mean, both schools commit almost everything towards winning this game. Both of these teams have beaten Air Force this year already. Navy lost to Tulane. Army beat them. So they got some common opponents there. Army has had a great season, while Navy has had a very good season. So, yes, Army is favored slightly by 6.5 points.
Well, I'm going to be there in the stands, enjoying every minute of it. I've got a nephew who's a senior at Navy this year, and I love him. He's a great guy, but I don't want his senior year to be any better than my senior year was, because we lost to Navy my senior year.
Ah, that's right, Denny. Will you be able to see him?
Yes, we hope so. Normally, we see him every year.
Okay, good, good, good.
But his dad,
it's a family affair.
His dad's going to be there, and his dad went to the Air Force Academy.
Can you believe that? Yes. All right, so everybody's going to be represented. Yep. Air Force, Army, and Navy.
Yep. Okay, well, I think we have something that's going to rock and roll, and we'll be at it next week to see just how wise our comments were.
That's right, Denny, and for your sake, I will say, beat Navy.
Thank you, young man. I appreciate that. We'll be back at it again next week. Thanks, bro.
All right, Denny.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for the Marine B&B. Marine Vet Gil Mazza, a retired Border Patrolman, will discuss our nation's southern border. Welcome, Gil.
Morning, Colonel.
And Marine Vet and author, and FOF co-host, Skip Coriel, will present another interesting book. Glad you're here, Skip, because you're on duty now.
I'm always on duty.
That's true. Okay, Gil, you're up. Our nation's border czar says that all is well on the border, but our next czar says that ain't necessarily so. How do you see it?
Well, the first czar never bothered to show up to the border, and when she did, it was for a 45-minute photo op, right? But this new border czar, Tom Homan, former Border Patrol agent, has moved through the ranks and went up to head ICE eventually and then retired. But it looks like he's coming back with a vengeance, Colonel. And this time, the law will be applied. Sanctuary cities have been given a pass for I don't know how many years. I honestly don't even understand how that legally even got started. But they're battening down the hatches and saying that they're going to put everything in place to fight ICE and the borders are from coming in and deporting, first of all the criminal aliens, all the ones that have missed their appointments. That's going to be the easy part, the no-brainer. And then we'll start working on the ones that are a little more entrenched.
Well, I know Tom Homan. Well, we've done some things together, and he's been a guest on the show. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be in front of him when he wants to go where I'm going. I don't want to be in his way when he gets focused. And that dude is focused. What you just said, Gil, is right on, brother. We're going to actually enforce the law.
Well, and that's the thing, right? The laws are already in the books. There's nothing that has to be written or submitted or passed. They're all in the books. And one of the biggest laws is that, they can't trump, so to speak, a federal law when it comes to, deporting criminal illegal aliens. You know, I just pray and hope, Colonel, that people go to jail for what they've done, releasing millions of criminal, illegal alien savages across the country, thousands of needless rapes and deaths and molestations of our American citizens that these individuals, Biden, Kamala Harris, and Mayorkas swore to protect. and allowed to be damaged and murdered and beaten. Now there's a reckoning coming, and that's going to be January 21st of 2025.
Yes, it is. And yes, probably only 3-5% of those illegals have actually done serious damage. But I thought illegal means against the law, and they're not allowed to do things because they're illegal. Is there something wrong with my logic?
Well, according to this administration, currently there is. But that's the thing, right? That's the argument, right? That it's such a small percentage, but it doesn't matter. That's like saying that your neighbor just beat her wife, so we're going to open a door and allow the neighborhood to come in and beat his wife as well. You know, no, none of these were even necessary. Every single one of these could have been stopped at the border. We had the law, we had the ability. And let me tell you something, people are saying that there's no way we can afford to deport everybody. Trust me when I tell you that thanks to Alejandro Mayorkas, the infrastructure is in place for us to be able to, within the first few weeks, deport millions. And I'll tell you something, a lot of them are already going home. And a lot of the countries like Mexico and other countries are already talking to Trump about how to stem the tide. So even though he's not even in office yet, already we're seeing the effects.
Yes, sir. Either we're a country of law, in which case we enforce the law, or we're not. Isn't that how it's supposed to be?
It is how it's supposed to be. And that's the thing, right? And this is what America finally, thank God, is realizing, right? I thought it was going to take another generation before this generation figured it out. But apparently, we opened their eyes pretty well with shows like yours and other, you know, independent journalists that went out there and kept this border crisis in the forefront of America, the security of it, the breach of security, the criminality of all of it. But there needs to be some people that go to jail for this, Colonel.
There really does. Or we're sending another message, which is you can break the law and it's no big deal.
Yeah. And look how Biden already sent out blanket pardons to everybody that we know were guilty, right? That's how you know they were guilty, because he went and gave these blanket pardons to these people so that Trump can't come after them and can't come get him. And if Mayorkas doesn't see jail time, there is no justice in this world.
Unfortunately, brother, you are 100% right. And we need to sincerely hope that our justice system can manifest some justice here.
Absolutely. And across the board for this, because this has been a long time coming. The damage that's been done can be undone. And again, we're starting to see the effects of a Trump administration already reverberating through a lot of our systems in America already. The stock markets are coming back up. You know, people are starting to get in line. People are starting to preemptively talk to Trump before he even becomes president, because they know that there's some major changes coming. And thank God, all for the good.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Gil. I really appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Colonel.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time for Skip to share about a book. You're on, brother. What's the book?
Well, Colonel, this book is, I don't know, depressed me. Really did. And I thought, maybe I shouldn't share this book. But, you know, you got to take the bad with the good. So
misery loves company, Skip.
That's right. It does. But just as a, as a warning, okay, if you're on the verge of depression, don't read this book, okay? And the name of the book is called Make Room, Make Room. And it was released in 1966. It's a science fiction novel written by a man named Harry Harrison. And it's all about the unchecked population growth in America. And this is really weird book. There was a movie that came out based on this book in 1973, and it starred Charlton Heston and Edward G. Robinson, and it was called Soylent Green. Mm. Either of you ever see that movie, Soylent Green?
I don't think
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Don't read the book. Watch the movie. Okay. I've never said that before. But, the movie wasn't bad at all. I mean, Charlton Heston, he's pretty good anyways. And Edward G. Robinson, great actor, great actor. He filmed this movie. It was his last movie. He had terminal cancer while he was filming this movie. And 2 months after they finished filming, he died of cancer. But, in the movie, Soylent Green, there was a food shortage. And so the big, you know, thriller of this movie is that they were, and every time someone died, they would process them into something called Soylent Green, which was supposed to be made out of plankton, but lo and behold, it was made out of people. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was totally made up. That was not in the original book at all. But the original book is really quite depressing. It really, really is. It's all about the evils of society. The author, he was a military vet. He fought in World War II. He was drafted in 1943 into the U.S. Army Air Force, and he served as a gun sight technician and as a gunnery instructor. But he hated the military. He had a lifelong hatred of the military, and I really think from reading the book of America itself, he just did not like America. He kind of struck me as a bit of a socialist. And his existential worldview was not fun at all. It was very difficult for me to read. You know, every time I read it, I saw the main character as Charlton Heston, and I think that's what kept me going. But, you know, I cannot recommend this book. Go for something feel good. Next month, I promise to have a good feel good book to recommend to everybody. But this month, sorry. It's Christmas. I should have picked something different, Colonel.
A do Christmas Carol would have been nice.
Yeah. Yes. Just yeah, that could have been.
Do some push-ups.
Skip, you know what Soylent Green tastes like, right?
Sea rations?
No, chicken.
Oh, chicken. Yeah, because everything tastes like chicken.
That's right.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks, Skip, for that interesting comment. And thank you, Gil, for being a part of the team. And Skip, you're back on in a minute. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag, then it's military history time. You're reporting for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Hey, I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin is the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a really great place to purchase silver and gold. I encourage you to join me. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Army vet Diana liked your comments on women in the military.
Thanks, Diana. I appreciate your support. We do need to support our women.
And Joshua, an Army vet and a Jew, really appreciates your regular support for Israel.
Joshua, Israel is our ally. What kind of person would support terrorists? Hey, of course we stand together. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 16 December 1773 in Boston Harbor, a group of Massachusetts colonists disguised as Mohawk Indians boarded three British tea ships and dumped the tea into the harbor. Known as the Boston Tea Party, this was in protest of the British Parliament's bill to save the faltering East India Company by granting it a monopoly on the American tea trade. The low tax allowed them to undercut even tea smuggled into America, and many colonists saw this as taxation tyranny. Parliament, outraged, passed acts which closed Boston to merchant shipping, established British military rule there, and required colonists to quarter British troops. Americans called the First Continental Congress for a united American resistance. The result was war.
And on 20 December 1860, South Carolina left the United States when they ratified an article of secession. South Carolina, the first state to secede, was followed within a few weeks by six other states who collectively formed the Confederate States of America. When hostilities erupted in April 1861, four more states joined the Confederacy.
And on 16 December 1944, during World War II, with the Anglo-Americans closing in on Germany from the west and the Soviets approaching from the east, Hitler ordered a massive attack against the Western Allies. This was the Battle of the Bulge. The German attack out of the densely wooded Ardennes surprised the Allies, and the experienced German troops wrought havoc on our troops, creating a triangular bulge along the Allied front. Fog and mist prevented the use of Allied air superiority, and Hitler's effort was doing well. However, our troops kept up a fierce resistance even after their lines of communication were broken, buying time for an Allied counteroffensive. Fighting was fierce at the town of Bastogne, where the 101st Airborne Division was encircled by German forces who demanded we surrender. Major General McAuliffe prepared a tact reply that read simply, "To the German commander, nuts, from the American commander." The Americans who delivered the message explained to the perplexed Germans that the one rude reply was translatable as "go to hell." Heavy fighting continued at Bastogne. On December 23, the skies cleared and our air forces inflicted heavy damage on German tanks and transport. On December 26, Bastogne was relieved by elements of General Patton's Third Army. A major Allied counteroffensive began at the end of December, and by January 21, the Germans had been pushed back to their original line. And that was a great movie, too, at the Battle of the Bulge.
Hey, and as a 101st Airborne guy, I like it.
I know. Hoo-ah, right?
Yep. And on 17 December 1991, after a long meeting between Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev and President of the Russian Federation, Boris Yeltsin, a spokesman for the latter announced that the Soviet Union will officially cease to exist on or before the New Year's Eve. It was a rather anticlimactic dismantling of the Soviet Union. It was an unexciting end to the nation that President Ronald Reagan had once called the evil empire. And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. And in addition to being the worst day of your life, you could face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you could find yourself in the legal system. It's sort of the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events who never thought they would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership or learn more, go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing. And now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry the firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, police responded to a shots fired call to Junior's Taco Restaurant in Tyler, Texas, to find that Herberto Ramirez, age 38, of Tyler, was shot to death. Witnesses say that an argument developed between several customers and that it started indoors, but then moved outside. The argument became heated, and Scott Lee Goble, aged 54, of Frost, Texas, drew his handgun and shot Ramirez one time, ending his life. Goble has been booked into the Smith County Jail on a $500,000 bond and has been charged with first-degree murder.
Well, thanks, Colonel. This is a sad story with a sad ending, but it didn't have to happen this way. Here's what I always tell my students. Once you start carrying a gun for self-defense, you need to become the most polite person on the planet. Of course, in this story, our victim wasn't carrying a gun, so he didn't stand much of a chance once he was attacked. However, most of self-defense has very little to do with firearms. The gun is important in many cases, but most altercations can be avoided with the right mindset and a little bit of knowledge. When a man asks you if you want to step outside and handle it like real men, your answer should be, no, thank you. Or tell him you'll finish your taco and be out in 5 minutes. Then you call 911 and wait for the police to handle it. I know that doesn't sound very masculine coming from a Marine vet, but anytime you can avoid violence, you should do so. If you have an opportunity to escape out the back door, then go ahead and do that. Your new motto should be threefold: avoid, escape, defend, in that order. First, avoid trouble at all costs. That means when someone tries to argue with you, you politely opt out in a way that doesn't offend them. Always remember that one of your most important weapons in self-defense is a kind word. Most people want to do the right thing most of the time, and being kind brings out the better angels of their nature. Second, try to get away if a kind word doesn't work. That means backing down and swallowing your pride. It's not manly, but I look at it this way. If I'm able to back down and escape, then I don't have to kill him. And finally, when all else fails, you've been kind, you've swallowed your pride, you've tried to unsuccessfully escape, and they still insist on fighting, then okay, go ahead and defend yourself. But let's agree on one thing. If you're going to get into a gunfight, you might as well win. This isn't like 10-year-olds playing soccer where they don't keep score and everyone gets a trophy. In a gunfight, there's one winner and one loser. The winner lives on, and the loser gets a body bag. Most often, though, it won't come to that, because avoid and escape almost always works. When it doesn't, that's when you need training and a gun. Most importantly, remember that your ego is not your friend and that pride and anger will not serve you. I'm reminded of a verse in the Bible that goes like this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Retired Marine General James Mattis put it a little differently. Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody that you meet.
Is that your final comment?
I know that seemed abrupt, but that's my wisdom, Colonel.
Well, I like the general's thought. Okay, our movie of the month is Pip. It's the story of a little dog with a big dream. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog, get the link, and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Forrest Hamilton will present Universal Coin and Bullion. Then, if things work out, we're scheduled to meet Santa Claus. He'll be a guest. Then, of course, we'll review this weekend's Army-Navy game, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.